This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Wrestling Network fans, welcome to the first ever Britpod Blast here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Something different, something very hastily planned, not unlike how me and my colleague with me tonight do things. But we are on the road to WrestleMania. SoFi is just coming over the horizon. There have been a few speed bumps along the way, both this side of the pond and on said road to WrestleMania. But we are here to go over the big show nonetheless. But as ever, I'd never come alone. It's too lonely to do it by myself. I always come armed with a special relation, and the one sitting next to me virtually is the one and only Ben Locke. Ben, good evening, sir.
Planning to plan. That's too much like hard work. Good evening, Callum. Good evening, everybody. We're not going to do that. That's not us.
No, I mean, saying that the March/April episode is going to be WrestleMania preview is probably as much plan as you'll get from us ever, really.
Yes.
And that's mainly because the calendar doesn't change in the world of professional wrestling. if they ever do to WrestleMania what they did to SummerSlam last year and make it in February, then we are absolutely screwed.
Oh, that paper will have to get ripped up and we'll start again.
Exactly. Whatever are we to do? So the one of the speed bumps on the road mentioned is, it is only the two of us tonight. The special relations will unfortunately be on an indefinite hiatus going forward. The podcast legend has so many other commitments at the minute that unfortunately the special relations we are having to take a back seat for the time being. We don't know when the three of us will be back, but we will be back at some point.
I think the good thing is it's for the best reasons that we've stopped for a while. Well, we're going to stop for a while. It's not like we're stopping because we strongly dislike each other, or you know, that could happen at some point, but it hasn't.
there's no Brett and Sean, there's no brawl out incident that's happened. It's just that the podcast legend has to take care of some things on his, all good things, as Ben said, on his end. So we wish Rory well, and it's exciting times for Rory.
Family job, promotions, new country living in, it's going to be all great. And you can imagine our little podcast is maybe like, you know, well down on that list of priorities, and you know, get the home life, and get, you know, Wales is quite a strange place. It'll take him a little while to get used to that. So
yeah, it was such a strange place that we only stayed for a maximum of 48 hours the last time.
Oh, what a 48 hours that was, though.
What a 48 hours it was, I know. I mean, we can at least have some solace that our last episode but one was the live in-person one, and then we got to talk about the Royal Rumble as well. So, I mean, what a couple episodes to head out on for our temporary hiatus.
Like you say, it's not a goodbye. It's more of a see you later. So
yes,
you know, that's the way we're going with it.
Yeah, and it's not, and that's just for that. That's just for the three of us in as a trio. You will hear, you will continue to hear myself and Ben both together and individually on other things as well. And when Rory wants to come back, then the hot seat, as you know, as you'll notice, this isn't a, as we said, this isn't a special relations episode. The seat is we're continuing to, we've got the wee heater under the seat to keep it warm for him just whenever he wants to, if he was even coming.
We wanted to do this because we had at least planned a little plan ahead. But we were both very definite that this was not going to be a special relations episode. So, you know, that is, you know, just to get cheesy, that's just the three of us. You know, it's if one goes, we all go sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. So it might be, excuse me. Whoa, don't know what happened there with the voice.
Good Lord.
Wow. it might be that we'll have more. It might be that there'll be more Britpod blasts in the future, but certainly no special relations branded. That's just reserved for when the three of us get together.
Just the three of us building castles in the sky. Right.
I mean, that's just
me singing.
No. We hear you sing every month on Chicken Salad.
That is true. Well, more sort of just in the background. I think you'll find that's Logan's protocol.
Well, where would Diana Ross be without her Supremes?
Very true. Very true. And as you can already tell, ladies and gentlemen, the tangents are still going to be here no matter what podcast we're on.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. So, I feel that we should, to keep this in, you know, only trust us to have a pod blast that goes 3.5 hours.
3 hour pod blast, yes.
So I feel like we should probably dive right in. So, WrestleMania this year, once again over two nights, it has gone Hollywood.
Yeah.
This year, and I'm looking at the card. We've not had much confirmed by way of confirmation of what night these are on, but it's a pretty solid card from what I can see. Just overall thoughts first of all, Ben, on what they've amassed thus far.
I you know, people know my opinions of the previous regime. This is probably the most excited, I would say, the most excited I've been for a WrestleMania in, yeah, since 31, so 8 years. Since the Seth cash in one. And obviously I'm going to paraphrase off another person who's got a big match in WrestleMania, but this card has got banger after banger after banger on it. They've almost taken that sort of, you know, what you said about AEW, Kellen, that model of something for everyone, a little something for everyone, and they've used it quite, you know, you've got the celebrity match, you've got the great technical classics, you've got the main event brawl, you've got all these different parts, and this is the difference between Vince and Triple H. I think all the main matches have had at least three months of build for it.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. I can see two that have come straight from the Rumble.
Yes.
You've had three that have come straight from the Rumble, excuse me. One that's been built up for months, and another couple more. Yes, so you've got some that are, long-term, a lot of long-term sort of vision in them, which is very refreshing to see. And even the ones that haven't got as long a term vision to them, they've done pretty well on making sure that they're at least, you know, WrestleMania worthy matches. Yeah.
It's that thing of just it's two things you have to do. You have to give people, you've got to give people the match that they want to see. At the end of the day, you know, whether you're paying your $9.99 a month, whether you're still buying on pay-per-view for, you know, what, you know, reasons, or even if you're going live, you've still got, I think this is what Triple H realizes, you cannot just brand on the WWE name. You need to give that with matches that people want to see.
And they have far and away exceeded that.
Oh,
like giving people what matches they want to see than they have done for many a year now, and with the exception of I've got here two or three, yeah, you could say that it's all current, like, active superstars.
Yeah,
you're looking at Cena, Trish, and Lita, and even then Cena isn't quite on Goldberg territory quite yet, and Trish and Lita aren't your usual part-timers coming back, so it's at least part-timers are at least fresh, which is again quite a refreshing thing to see.
And I know we're going to talk about, I know we're probably going to give a couple of minutes to each match individually, but they're not in the main matches of the show. They're attraction matches.
Yes.
The current superstars, and I hate using the word superstars, but I'm going to use it now. The current superstars are the main attraction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm looking up and down this card. I can't see. It's all very, very fresh and refreshing to see. So as you say, we can start off going through some of the matches, and we don't need to. If there's some, we'll go through it quicker than others.
So I think there's only a couple of throwaways, but there's, you know, but some will talk about for 5-10 minutes, others will get like 2 minutes.
Yes, absolutely. That. Yeah. So we'll start off with night one. One that was rumoured for a while and has had a lot of screen time. Confirmed for night one is Austin Theory versus John Cena for the United States Championship. So this will be the first time in a while that the US title has been, one, defended at a WrestleMania, and two, been in such a prominent role. And I think you're probably looking, again, talking about WrestleMania 31, the last time that Cena challenged for it was probably the last time it had this big a focus. But what's your thoughts on Theory and Cena?
Just go to the defending thing first.
Yes.
And that's another key difference between the previous and the current regime. And we'll talk about the other mid-card title match in a bit, but they've made the titles mean something.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So
it's not just a throwaway glib battle royal match or, you know, like 5 minutes throwaway. So what do I think? I'm not the biggest Austin Theory fan in the world. I'm not. I think he's average to good. That might get me some heat or whatever, but I think he's average to good. But if you're in the ring, and even if it's just this once a year, twice a year thing with Cena, average to good is more than enough still. I think it'll be about a 10-minute match. Let's say 20 minutes. Let's say 15 minutes with intros and stuff. And I think Theory wins, and I think it'll be perfectly acceptable wrestling. Perfectly acceptable.
That's the bare minimum we can hope for. I don't think, as long as it's not, as long as it's not boring, which I don't think it will be. I don't think John Cena, for all of his faults that you may think he has, I don't think he's capable of having a boring match.
For all of his faults, won't have a boring match. I don't think his moveset's boring. That's not the problem with him. I think it's the character. I think it's quite competent. It's the character I've got an issue with. Now they went from like the, you know, the previous regime of Vince, you know, being Vince's handpicked boy, to then being, you know, jobbed out every week, to then being Mr. Serious suddenly. And, you know, it's like, it's just 180 all the time with him. So I think in the ring, he's fine. And that's all they wanted to be.
And if you look at the switch and what happened with him, the 180, the first 180 came very, very soon after the regime change. So you're thinking he's had everything given to him because Vince had this infatuation with him. And obviously, you know that because he got the Vince rub at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
To then the regime changed. He gets maybe brought down a peg or two, loses the Money in the Bank, cash in, to then sort of being built back up and slightly more organically. So I think this is obviously they've got high hopes for him because they don't give John Cena to anybody.
Yeah, you're not gonna waste a Cena appearance on some jabroni, are you?
No.
Not at this stage.
No. I mean, when they did the thing with Elias in New York, Elias was as hot as ever was. It's different if you were giving him John Cena Elias now.
Yes.
But if you are given John Cena, you're on the way to being a made man in the company, as long as you don't, you know, bugger up the opportunity, which I think Austin Theory probably, I think he probably will not.
He will take the opportunity given to him, and he will run with it. I mean, whatever I think of him as a character, as a performer, I think we could all agree on that.
Yes. Yeah. So, match number two, which has been sort of slated for the Saturday night ever since it was probably announced, which I think could be that. I mean, this match should be an absolute barnstormer. It's Seth Rollins against Logan Paul. This match should be outstanding.
I think so. And it's interesting, isn't it? I know we're bringing the Twitch calls back, like, on the pay-per-view, but it was interesting when the guys were on, you watch the shows week to week, you know, all moaning their bag off about Seth and, you know, whether it's the voice. Yeah, I agree the voice is irritating, but moaning about it with a voice. And I'm like, but this guy has banger match after banger match every pay-per-view. Am I missing something here? See, I love Seth Rollins, and I will unapologetically say that, because, and I think it's for the reason that I don't watch every week. I literally just watch the matches. Don't have to listen to him talk. I don't care about him talking, to be honest. And what we've seen of Logan Paul, we know he's quite the Shane McMahon bump taker, isn't he? That's his line of work. Yeah. We all wanted to know why Ricochet was still in the ring at the Royal Rumble, and we found out pretty quickly why. So I've got no doubt that this will be a great sports entertainment match, and I think Seth will bring it. I think Logan Paul will bring it, and yeah, this will be a perfect like popcorn match.
Yeah, I mean, again, it shows you the The faith they have in Logan Paul as well, because he had one tag match last year, and I think we were all on, all of us to a man, and no, not women, because Jenny wasn't on, all of us to a man on that call were really, really impressed with Logan Paul. He was the Bad Bunny of last year. He was a lot better than he had any right to be, and then they gave him Roman Reigns, albeit it was Saudi, but they still trusted him to go by himself against Roman Reigns. And he had the match with The Miz as well. So I think, like, Logan Paul has one of these guys that's got a God-given talent to be a professional wrestler. I think he was born to do this job. Mm. He's very good at it. And I think him and Rollins will probably mesh together really well.
I think it's also a thing of, and we could talk about the rights and wrongs of it, when you've paid a guy that much money, you've got to give him the best people to wrestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the highest profile matches to wrestle. Let's, you know, maybe phrase it like that. Yeah. It's not right. You know, to quote Whitney Houston, it's not right, but it's okay. And but that's what you've got to do, haven't you? You can't hide him. You've got to have him front and center at your main shows.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay him this shit ton of money, he's got to turn up and he's got to perform as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they're giving him all these prominent roles. I think the Miz match at SummerSlam last year might have been the tester. Can this guy handle it in the ring? Because the Miz is one of these guys that if you can't have a decent match with the Miz, he's like your anchor guy. If you can't have a decent match with the Miz, you're not going to be able to have a decent match at all. And he did. And then so they gave him Roman, and they're putting him in all these prominent positions. And fair play to him. He's grabbed the opportunity with both hands, and he's taken it.
The Miz is like your lower mid-card gatekeeper. He's your Rick Martel of his current era, isn't he? Let's be honest. Maybe Rick Martel was a better wrestler, but like you say, in terms of character.
He's your gateway to the main event. If you like, because the Miz is one of these guys that can go up or down, left or right, wherever you need to be, he's your guy. If you're wanting to see if a guy can take it to the next level, you haven't beat the Miz.
Mm. And it's like you say, like last year's WrestleMania, he had to be the douchebag, which, you know, we all know he's quite natural. You know, that's pretty much his natural setting. But now he's having to be the babyface, and he did a pretty good job. But I think this is the reward for Seth to be a big match. This is a big, make no mistakes about it, this is a big match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Looking at the other matches that haven't had that I've got a TBC next to them, I think you could probably fit some of them into Sunday now, because you're looking at you're looking at Rollins, Paul, and the next two matches that we're going to talk about, and I think that's probably your main event sorted for the Saturday.
Yes.
Because there's currently 14 matches listed here. Four confirmed, according to Wikipedia anyway, four confirmed for Saturday, one confirmed for Sunday, and then nine still TBC.
Well,
but I think you've probably filled the main event side of Saturday.
Well, just going off a little tangent, we know what the WWE pay-per-view model is now, which is basically you can fit a match, a couple of adverts, and a promo for the next match in half an hour. That's the way they look at things now. Like when we went to Clash of the Castle, that was six matches and the show was still 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we could all sit here and go, seven, like you say, if there's 14 matches, seven matches on each show, 4 hours each, 4 hours for the whole show.
In and out, and I don't care what anyone says from a viewer at home. And I get that most of the folk that we talk to go to WrestleMania every year and then they need to hoof it back to the stadium the next night. After I've done weekender events. The Sunday is a slog to get through because you go for it on the Saturday and then you're like, oh, I need to go back for the Sunday. Oh. I get that. But see, from a viewer at home, 2 4-hour shows as opposed to 1 8-hour show, give me it every year.
Something we could all understand and appreciate, and you know, it's a it's like a festival, isn't it? It's like going to Coachella or Glastonbury, whatever you want to go to. Like Alan says, first couple of nights you are really, you know, you're really ready and up for it. You've got your beers, you're drinking, you're having fun. The Sunday, if you've not paced yourself right, the Sunday can be a slog.
Yeah. You better hope there's somebody you really want to see in the Sunday night headliner slot, or you're contemplating going home this Saturday. I've done that myself.
Yeah. And that's what it's like. So, you know, I like me as a viewer at home, I would so much rather it be this way than, you know, say an 8 hour show, 8:10. Because what was that WrestleMania when Becky won it? And it's finishing at like nearly 1 o'clock in the morning, American time.
It took me 4 sittings to get through.
Yeah.
And I watched and I had the ability to watch it anytime I wanted at home.
And that match, you know, that was a match everybody wanted to see, that triple threat main event. But like you say, when it came to the time when I was watching it, I'm like, I did watch it live. I remember watching it live, and I'm like, I literally finished watching it, and then the breakfast TV news was on. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what's going on here? I need to go back.
I think I'm sure it was Andy Atherton that went, and I'm sure it was him and his son that went, and they was just like, it finished it after 12 o'clock, but then you need to get back into the city. He was just like, it was.
That's like, the one that was at MetLife, wasn't it? So Andy would have gone, wouldn't he, with his lad? And then so you're talking 2-3 o'clock before you get home.
So MetLife's out at it's in Jersey, it's out of the Meadowlands, and it's just like, so you'd need to hoof it back into Manhattan if you want to go anywhere that's not near the stadium. You need to haul ass back into Manhattan, go wherever you're going and have to go, because Manhattan's not a small place in and of itself. Think about how we were in Newport. We were only 20 minutes away from Cardiff, and we were ready to just riot.
You know, it's that thing of, literally, you know, people won't know the geography of Cardiff, but if I can describe it, I'm not even joking here, where the stadium is. We literally got out the train station to Cardiff, turned a corner, and there was the main street of pubs, and it was packed.
Yeah.
It's like a main long street. And then literally all we had to do was make a left turn and then a right turn, and we're there at the stadium. And I know it's not like that. I don't know about SoFi, but I know it's not like that in a lot of American places.
But it still took us 2 hours to get back to the hotel.
That was the incompetence of the train service.
Well, that's it, yes. Transport for Wales, hang your head in shame.
Anyway, come on, Pod Blast,
yeah, sorry.
I'm the one keeping the time. Rory would be so proud.
Rory's here in spirit. He's here in spirit. So we've talked about, as we say, so that's one of the main events that, that we could possibly have. We've got one of two, and it's debatable what one is going to main event, the main event this Saturday. There's one that I think should, and one that I think probably will. Now, this is the one that I think probably will. It is the singles match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. It is Charlotte Flair versus your Royal Rumble winner, Rhea Ripley. Thoughts, Mr. Luck?
Well, first of all, about the placement of the shit cup matches, I tend to agree with you. There is one match that should and one match that will, and this is the match that will. What I will say, and, you know, people will, might get surprised, she's been all right these last couple of months, hasn't she?
She's not been bad.
The only problem I had, and, you know, I think it's one of the few booking mistakes they've made, is her winning the title on her first night. That's the only problem I had with it.
Yeah, I think they sort of... Yeah, I mean, that they had an issue with the fact that the Ronda thing just went south a hell of a lot quicker than I thought. I think they thought it was going to.
I know what you're saying, but I think this was the match they always wanted for this show. I don't think it was going to be Ronda versus Rhea. Let's put it that way.
No, I think you're probably right, and it's weighing up. Does Charlotte come back on her first night and win the title from Ronda, and you just end the Ronda thing like as quick as possible, or do you sacrifice that bit of it to have maybe Charlotte win win the title at the Elimination Chamber, and then you've only got 4 or 5 weeks to build to Charlotte Rhea, the big rematch.
And on the other side of that, so there's two things, isn't there? One, you know, how good has Rhea Ripley been, particularly these last 6 months or so? How good, you know, in terms of in-ring and character-wise, how good has she been? And I'm so pleased for her that, as you just said, this is a rematch from WrestleMania 3 years ago, and she can have that match that she's always wanted in front of a huge crowd.
Yeah.
They got took away from, well, her personally and from us all 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the other way about. She's going to get her big win against Charlotte, who, you know, like it or not, she is the person to beat if you want your big win. Your big win is going to come against Charlotte.
My problem with Charlotte is, and I know exactly what it is, it was a problem I had with Roman Reigns in 2014, 2015. It was the problem I had with Cena in about 2008, 2009. You know, it's this thing of when somebody's on TV every week, and it's a problem they've always had, and it's why I'm so glad now they space things out a bit. You know, what's the old saying? You can't miss somebody if they never go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always my problem with Charlotte. Like, she's very good in the ring. And I even said to you boys when we talked about her, you know, I said, if I was Vince and I was sitting there and I'm going, you know, she's 6 foot, athletic, muscular tone, she's a good-looking woman, she's blonde, of course I'm going to push her to the moon. But that doesn't mean me at home, I've got to like it. But the Vince is, that's the book, you know, if I was the book of business man, yes, I would push it to the moon. But as me as a fan, no, I don't particularly, you know, want to see it every week. You know, LOL, Charlotte wins, you know. It was the same thing that happened to Roman and same thing that happened to Cena, and things had to change with both of them to get to this position where they are now. And I think something will have to change with Charlotte. You know, you can't just keep saying I'm the queen, woo, and hope to get away with it. But in ring, I haven't got a problem with her. I've never had a problem with the in-ring work. It's the way she's presented. That's my issue.
And when she's given folk that are as talented as Rhea, then it's going to be, it should be an excellent match. It's certainly going to be a hell of a lot better than that stinker that she had last year with Ronda.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think she was on a hiding to nothing with that one.
They just didn't get on for whatever reason, and that was probably the first sign that things weren't going to be quite right with Ronda as they were first time round.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Hey, good things. I'm going to try and be as positive as I can tonight.
Okay, hold that thought. The match that should be the main event. It's the Usos against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the undisputed WWE Championship.
Right, so here's two things, and you know, I'm not going to contradict myself, but you can almost put what I said about the Usos, what I said about Charlotte, to the Usos. Can't miss anybody if they don't go away.
Now you are going. You are now in a camp where you think that the Usos should main event WrestleMania
because of the sheer strength, the sheer strength of what I think the storyline should be for the weekend, and Kevin Owens, and in particular one Mr. Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is a god amongst men because he has made me interested in the Usos. It wasn't Roman. It wasn't Solo. It wasn't the Wise Man. It was Sami who made me interested in the Usos. This match not only should main event night one, this match should be in Hell in a Cell. That's where the build is going for this. It shouldn't be a straightforward normal tag match. No, this should frankly be a brawl to the death.
Imagine that. Triple H says that we're not going to have Hell in a Cell anymore because it should be the feud ender, and we're not having two Hell in a Cell matches because the show's called Hell in a Cell, and we have built up. You've built up two feuds that should rightly finish in Hell in a Cell, and oh, they're both happening on the same weekend.
Yeah, but this is where the two night thing works, doesn't it? One on one night, one on t'other. Problem solved.
No, I'm not having a go at your booking there, sir. I'm just more thinking that they've tried for years to have to fit Hell in a Cell, like storylines into Hell in a Cell on the one night, and on one weekend you've potentially. You could have easily had two, just purely by chance.
Well, we'll go to the rights and wrongs of the world title match later, the men's world title match later. Mm. But this, I've got no problem with. Again, most of my issues with the Usos come when they get in the ring. You know, it's a 2.5-3-star match. Great, they've been doing the same thing for however many years. You know, since 2010 or whatever. We're 13 years in now. You know, please improve at some point in ring, but their out ring stuff, the character work's been brilliant during this. And you know, I think it was what you're going to mention, Callum. I've watched that Bloodline chronology program on the network, and it's brilliant. 2 hours, but the first hour, I will say, is basically just a lot of when they're in the Thunderdome, a lot of like Dr. Phil family counseling going on. And then they turn into like batshit crazy heel killers as soon as they get in front of a crowd.
No, I haven't seen that. No, I was going to say if you'd seen the T-shirt review, the KO Mania T-shirt review from SmackDown yesterday.
No,
as we record.
I haven't.
So for those that haven't watched it, it's obviously because Kevin Owens for the last few years at WrestleMania has had the different KO Mania with the WrestleMania the old school WrestleMania logos. So he brings out another one and he's on the KO show and he's showing Sammy that this year it's WrestleMania or KO Mania goes Hollywood. He goes, but that's just the back. You need to see what's on the front. And he hands him it. And you just see Sammy's face turn and he's just like, he turns it around and he goes, it's WrestleMania. And he's got it's brilliant. You'll need to watch it. And then Owens is there, and he takes off his jumper, and he's wearing the WrestleMania shirt. It's just beautiful. It is absolutely brings a tear to a glass eye, honestly.
But it's that thing as well. If you're a long term, not just if the Bloodline's doing it, if you're a long term fan like I have, and just you know follow these boys from you know ROH into NXT, you know that hug and reunion that was 8 years in the making. And like Callum said, it kind of brought a little, I thought I was getting a bit allergic to something, Callum. I don't know about you when you saw it.
Well, I think you know, dinner was getting ready and dinner was being made and, you know, onions were being cut and all that.
Them onions are a bitch.
But even if you didn't know anything about Ring of Honor, these Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been linked since Kevin Owens' first night in the company.
Yes.
Which I believe we watched. On a special relations gone by, that one is in the archives for you all.
Dead.
This one should be. I mean, I get what you're saying about the Usos, but this, with you know, guaranteed at least 3.5 or 3.5. This one should be superb because of their dance partners.
I will make a bold prediction. This will be their best match ever.
It very well could be better than the New Day Hell in a Cell.
I'll go that far. I think
Ooh,
I will go that far.
That is bold. So
it's bold. It's bold, but you know, I'm gonna be fair. I'm gonna be positive. I think this is, like I say, this should main event it, because I think the storyline for the weekend should be the fall of the bloodline. That's the story of the weekend. But whether they go for it, I don't know.
I think they do. I think they should.
It's what they should. Again, it's what they should do, but it's what they will do.
Yeah, and interesting to see what happens. Mm. Anyway, so that's night one. We've been going for 34 minutes, Ben, and we're only through the first four matches on the confirmed night one.
I think we'll get, because remember, should we mention them both now? We've got two basic piss break matches in the showcase matches.
Yes, so
we can put them quickly out the way now.
Yes, so the Women's WrestleMania Showcase Fatal 4-Way, Liv and Raquel versus Natalya and Shotzi versus Ronda and Shayna versus One Team TBD. And then you've got the Men's Showcase Fatal 4-Way Tag, Braun and Ricochet, Street Profits, Alpha Academy, and the Viking Raiders.
Right.
I think this is pretty cool, first of all. More just, it shows that maybe Triple H has seized the importance or the value in tag team wrestling. It gets these guys on the card, nothing more, nothing less.
I two things. One, I prefer this to the Battle Royal.
Yes.
Scenario. And two, and I don't know, Kelly, you might know better than me, I would assume that there's going to be some sort of tag title matches for the winners going forward.
That would certainly make sense.
Maybe not the night after, going to sell, the injuries from the show, but going forward. So the women's one, you said, so Ronda and Shayna have been confirmed. I thought they were going to leave that as a surprise and, do that in Mania. So that's there. And for the men's, let's just pick a team at random. I like the Street Profits. I like a Red Cup.
Excuse me. I think Ronda and Shayna are probably going to be the winners on that one. I can see with the guys involved, the men's Fatal 4-Way could actually be a sneaky good match. The Street Profits are excellent. Alpha Academy are very, very good themselves. Ricochet, I mean, we know what Ricochet is, and if Braun is going to be his partner, just chucking him about, I'm all here for that. The Viking Raiders are big guys who can go, like, so
they can throw people around.
Yes, so this could be like just chaotic fun.
And I'm going to say Ronda and Shayna, for who the tag team title champions are in the company. There's the history there with Ronda and Becky. Just do it. It'll be fine.
It's Lita and Becky Lynch that are the champions, isn't it?
No, I mean like the history between Ronda and Becky as solo acts.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's Ronda and Lita and Becky are the tag champs. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's perfect. That's a perfect marriage for me, because you know that Ronda and Becky can go.
Yeah, so I think Ronda and Becky, Ronda and Shayna win the women's, and I'll go Alpha Academy winning on the men's as well.
Okay,
I'll go for that.
Who doesn't love Otis? Yes, that's a good pick.
I do love Otis. Another sort of semi throwaway match, depending on who the TBD is. LA Knight has got a match confirmed, and it's against TBD. Rumor has it that this is where Bobby Lashley is going to fit in for his WrestleMania match. So that could be decent. I like both of those guys.
I like both of those guys. LA Knight, since he's gone back to that character, it's great. He was really good when he was Eli Drake. He was really good in NXT. I think, that's one of the things of the Triple H regime. They saw that the model thing wasn't working. Let's get him out and let's make him back to what he was.
Yeah, I think they've done it excellent, because that could have been, that Max Dupree could have just been the end of him. So I think they've done very well in getting him back, and it's good for him getting on WrestleMania as well.
Well, I'm right in saying that it was going to be, I think the way it was building up, it was going to be Lashley and Bray Wyatt, but obviously Wyatt's injured, isn't he? So
yeah, he's got some medical thing. Mm. We wish him well.
We do.
Another semi throwaway, as much as a match with Brock Lesnar can be a throwaway. Brock Lesnar versus Omos.
I think you've almost used the right word there, throwaway. It's going to be the thing of Brock throwing a 7-foot whatever man around and just making him his bitch.
I don't know how this is going to go. I can see this. It should be Brock versus Goldberg from Survivor Series. Mm. It could end up being Brock versus Goldberg from WrestleMania 20.
This is where they should have done. They should have blown off Brock and Lashley. This is where that should have happened. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
Have to do it in Saudi. But then what? The Elimination Chamber wasn't in Saudi.
Mm. They've done the thing where Brock's never been able to hit the F5 on almost, so I think that's exactly what it's there for. And we're going to see Brock just throwing like this guy around in various suplexes for, like I say, about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah. Not a throwaway. Plenty of throwing, plenty of suplexes. The biggest, beefiest men slapping meat, the triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
I am nailing my colours to the mast here, Ben. This will be the match of the weekend. It is Gunther versus Sheamus versus the greatest WWE champion in history, Drew McIntyre.
I will agree with you. I think this is the match of the weekend. I'm going to go with Sheamus. I think they've been playing too much on this. He's not done the Korean Grand Slam thing. I think this is his night. This is his moment. I think Drew gets the title. I don't think he's a lot. I think Sheamus is going to be transitional champion, probably to Drew. But I think this is the night where Sheamus wins it to complete the Grand Slam.
Not a bad shout. I genuinely wouldn't mind any of these guys winning. Obviously, slightly favourite would be Drew, but if Gunther or Sheamus were to win, wouldn't honestly be. I want an extension of what we saw in Cardiff. Absolutely. That was one of the best matches I have ever seen in person. It was amazing.
Best match I've ever seen live. I just want chess in various shades of beetroot.
Yes,
that's what we need. We don't need Blady. We can just get away with chess. That's fine, you know.
Yeah,
but like I say, I think they've got bigger plans for Gunther for the summer. I think taking the title off him will be the first step. I don't think he'll take the pinfall. I think it'll be Sheamus covering Drew personally. I think quite possible. I think they want to keep Gunther. It kind of reminds me a bit of where we are on how it's the Impact Zone when they had to take the X Division title off Samoa Joe. You know, you have to think of a scenario where that goes, and a multi man match like this is perfect.
Well, if The Rock was going to turn up, I don't know if you've seen this. If The Rock was going to turn up, it was going to be Roman versus The Rock for the Universal Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was going to be, it was going to be Drew and Seth for the WWE Championship. Cody against Drew for the WWE Championship. Mm. Apparently.
One for two.
Now, if Roman takes some time off after Mania, which he's more than entitled to do, and Cody is your man on Raw, then if your main event scene on SmackDown, which essentially this has been, because Gunther has been the secondary champion behind Roman for the best part of 6-7 months now, probably even longer. Gunther and Sheamus and Drew McIntyre are your main event on SmackDown for the next 6 months, give me all of that.
Mm.
Twice on Sunday.
Well, what's good to know? How long has he had that title? Well, he's the longest reigning Intercontinental title champion of all time, isn't he? I don't have it to hand, but...
Let me see. He has held it currently, according to the Wikipedia, since June the 10th. So he's certainly the longest reigning modern era. So that's almost coming up for 9 months now.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing of this card in WrestleMania. This year it feels like... It feels like, you know, either a feud ender or a title reign ender. You know what I mean? This feels like the first time in a while that WrestleMania feels like the bookmark for the year ahead.
Gunther is 287. He has just taken over from Greg Valentine. And by the time WrestleMania rolls around, he will have jumped up to the 19th longest reign of all time, overtaking one Bret the Hitman Hart.
Him! That guy.
Yes. I heard he's done not too badly for himself.
He did all right, I seem to recall. Doesn't look like Bill Goldberg, though.
No, so here. Maybe Gunther could take down Bill Goldberg for him.
Yeah, but you never know.
You never know. I take your record. I give you Goldberg head on stake.
But yeah, it like I say, match. I'm not quite sure about match of the weekend as overall wrestling. There's a few other cards out there that have other matches on it, but I think certainly the WWE match of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm including NXT in that as well, because NXT's got a tasty wee card itself on the Saturday morning. But
I never include NXT in anything at the moment.
Anything. So there's like 7 more matches. So there's 21 WWE branded matches this weekend, and Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew will be the top of the lot of them.
Absolutely.
So moving swiftly on, because we are 45 minutes into the recording, Bianca Belair versus Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship.
We're doing very well with the recording. I think we are. This goes into my point I was making previously. You know, Bianca's been champion for a year.
Yes.
Is it the right time? I think it probably is.
Oh.
Asuka, since she's come back, you know, with the new look she had in Japan, she's been fantastic. I'm a huge Asuka fan ever since, you know, saw her in NXT. I think this is the time. I think this, you know, year in, this this feels right.
If this match goes on the Sunday, which it probably will, since Charlotte and Rhea's already on the Saturday, she will have held the title for exactly 365 days.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying it because she's held it for that long. I just think it just opens up more angle possibilities for her to chase it for a bit.
Yeah, your problem with the long term champion is you're going back like to Bruno Sammartino, who held the thing for 7 years, and Bob Backlund held it for 6 years, and Hogan held it for 4 years. It's because you could cycle people in and out, and you didn't have them on TV every week and all that sort of thing. So you could have them, and you could run, because you only went to Madison Square Garden once a month, and that was the only time people saw them. You could run the same challenger 3 months in a row. That's fine. When it comes, you're now come to the point where we are in modern, and we've had this discussion many a time on the Special Relations and on Twitch feeds. If Roman doesn't lose, what next?
That's the key difference now. The key difference is TV and saturation. You oversaturate the market. You oversaturate the character on TV. It's going back to what I said before. You can't miss somebody if they're never gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, she's been on the road for a year. You know, she's been champion for a year. Not just on TV. She's done house shows. She's done appearances all over the place. You'll appreciate it, Callum. She's done a reality show with Montez.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to get on that. You're a good lady. Need to go on to Total Bianca / Montez.
I'm sure some of our American friends will tell us. You know, this is me being all cultural here. She has been on Ira Montez. We've even been on Kelly Clarkson and Sherry Shepherd's show. So
there you go.
You know, I think they're the kind of interviews you and the good lady would thoroughly enjoy. But
I think so.
This is the thing. There's more than enough people now where you can give somebody a rest. Just go rest up for a bit. You know, you're a superb athlete. You're a brilliant wrestler. You know, we've spoke about how much I love Bianca Belair, and you know, I think I was probably the earliest to the party, certainly of the three of us, and then going for in other groups as well. But just I'm not saying she's bad. I don't even think she's been particularly like. I don't think, obviously, because she's relatively young, she's not been particularly oversaturated, but there's those times where you just need a rest. Just go rest your body up for a couple of months. It'll be, everything will be fine.
Bianca is now in a spot where she's not going to lose her spot.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the thingy. So on the Raw side of things, in the women's division, so there's Asuka. You then have Bayley, possibly. Alexa's currently out.
Alexa's singing.
Yes. Becky's, we've done that. Candice LeRae, no. Carmella, no. Chelsea Green, no. Dakota Kai is in the same thing as Bayley. I mean, you could have Challenger of the Month to get to Bayley, probably. So you've got Dakota and you've got Io Sky in that sort of my bracket. Dana Brooke, no.
My darling Io.
Yes. Dana Brooke, no. Mia Yim, no. Is it on that level? They've done nothing with her since she came back. Nikki Cross, you can maybe get one out of Nikki Cross. Piper Niven.
I think Piper, you know, and it's the thing with who, obviously, who's backstage in WWE now, but yeah. Piper's turning into a modern day Abyss, and I'm all here for it.
You could have Piper, and if it's not going to be Asuka, I wouldn't. Like, if Piper Niven beating Bianca is a possibility, you could do that, because she has been done. She did go up to be Challenger of the Month for somebody before, Becky before, Tamina, no. Then even if you go over to SmackDown, Aliyah, no. B-Fab, no. Charlotte, who knows. Emma, Lacey Evans, Liv, possibly. Natalya, God, no. Raquel, Ronda, Scarlett doesn't wrestle. Shayna is tied up with Ronda. Shotzi, Sonya, Tegan Knox, Valhalla, Zia Lee, and Zelina. So you've got, like, it is literally, there is two names possible, two even possibilities, that if Bianca wins, that's the what next. You're really running out until you start recycling, and then you get to the bit where you're at Roman Reigns, and you've got a thousand day title reign, because there's nobody at the level to beat you.
There's two things there from the list you just said. What is the sheer chasm between the strength and depth of the Raw SmackDown side? You know, it's not just the giving Rhea the match she should have had 3 years ago. That's not the only reason they've moved Rhea over to that match.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, reading that Raw list in particular again, you know, we were sitting here, you know, as fans 4 or 5 years ago thinking, but they're never going to have women, you know, like, you know, who's going to replace the four horsewomen? They're not going to be able to do it. And now you could quite happily have a situation where all four, for various reasons, I mean, I know Sasha's no longer around, but all four, for various reasons, might not be there. And things would be fine. It'd still run. It'd still be great. You've got the competitors there. And we didn't think that could happen like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. They've certainly got a lot of women on the roster. It's the gap between the top of the card and the rest of them is vast. They need to work on that.
You couldn't do, I mean, we'll talk, I mean, I don't know if we're going to do the six woman tag next, but you couldn't do an Evolution card now, I don't think. A proper,
no.
Like you say, you'd get those first 3 or 4 matches of the card, but then, you know, you're struggling for an eight match card, aren't you? Basically,
you can bring some of them up from NXT, but you, without bringing back the Bellas of the world and all the Attitude Era girls that turn up in the Rumble every year, you are struggling.
It's like when you watch the Rumble, isn't it? They're still not in that place now. They're still not in a place where, you know, the 32, you know, where you don't need a legend. They're not there yet, but they're a hell of a lot better than where they were 5 years ago. And they're, things in for the future are going to be a hell of a lot better.
Oh, if you're listening to Thingy, if you listen to the Motherships, and you're hearing Scott and JT talking about the women's division then, and looking at that now, I mean, it's 15 years ago, but, like, you'd much rather be in this position. And who's not to say that this time next year, we are talking about WrestleMania 40, and there's an Evolution card next summer, and you could easily do it. So they're in a good position.
Yeah.
And since you mentioned it, six women tag Damage Control versus Trish, Lita, and Becky Lynch.
Well, how fantastic has Damage Control been? And that's all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the important thing to say. You know, obviously, Bayley's a mouthpiece, but all three of them have brought it. I personally wanted this to be Bayley and Becky, because I think that's the storyline that's been going for, you know, go back to what we said right at the beginning of the show. This is something that's been going on since SummerSlam, basically. Mm-hmm. And they needed, a couple of weeks ago on that Raw, when they should have had the steel cage match, but they didn't. This is where they should have had the steel cage match, or mm-hmm. a big gaga sports entertainment, like no DQ match or something. Like, I think it'll be a good match, but I think it potentially could have been a great match as a singles match. But, you know, I'm certainly not going to complain about having Lita and Trish around.
Well, they could even still do that. It goes, all right, you've got, you have your, they've had their cage match, fine. I think they eventually did have it. But then you have the big blow off, and you go, right, well, I need to even the odds. Here's my pals. And you still have Trish and Lita, and they're, but they're just like her heavies to neutralise damage control. It's a bit of a strange, like, you would then need to overcome the fact that you're bringing them back to basically be like ringside enforcers, but it's been done before.
I think, you know, I think this is sort of the sister, that's a very weird way to put it, of the Logan Paul Seth match. This will be your popcorn match of the Sunday night, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be a bad match at all, because looking at everyone that's involved, I think it's going to be a
All six can bring it. It'll be a great little 10-15 minute. It'll be one of those. It'll be a long match, but it won't feel like a long match, I think.
Yeah. It's one of these ones. I mean, it doesn't matter how long you've been away. It's like riding a bike. Like, look at Steve Austin last year. Neck surgeries in 19 years between matches, and it was still, you know, just as good as any Steve Austin match you'd ever seen. So, like, riding a bike.
Like I say, is it Extreme Rules next month? I think at some stage you've got to do the big blow off between Becky and Bayley, but we're not there yet. Yeah, and
I think it happens at some point.
Am I disappointed that we're not seeing that match? Yes, I am, but we're getting a pretty good match it's not a replacement, is it? It's the match they're bringing us.
Yeah. And speaking about riding a bike, neck surgeries and
segues. Yeah. Been superb.
neck surgeries and many years between matches and picking it up like riding a bike. The Hell in a Cell match that we were talking about earlier on, Edge against Finn Balor, and talking about matches that have been built up over months, this is, I thought they might have been losing steam, but they've managed to bring it all back. They've had Beth get involved in it, and it's just, it's been excellent. Edge has been found to have been, has been caught on more than one occasion touching Beth's bum on television.
Can you really blame the man? If Beth was my wife and looking like that, can you really blame the man?
There was also the one time, I don't know if you remember, he got caught on television being caught. So he obviously did it, and the cameras went in front, Beth turned around and glared at him and just started laughing.
But the big rumor on the street is this is going to be Edge's last year, isn't it? He's looking to wrap things up at SummerSlam. That's the big rumor on the street. Whether it happens or not, we don't know. But
SummerSlam's in Toronto this year, isn't it?
I thought it was Detroit.
Detroit. When's Stingy? I thought there was a big match. There's something happening. It is Detroit. Apologies. There's a big match. There's a big show happening, I thought, in Toronto.
They might be a pay-per-view then happening in Toronto.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be around that sort of. That was going to be his last hurrah. Apparently, yeah. Don't quote me on it.
The point I'm making is, like, I think he's thinking, this is my last active year. I am going to make Finn a star. And I think in the hardcore fans, I think Finn is obviously a star, but you've got to, you know, we're a very, very small section of the active audience, whether, you know, Finn's been around for years or just a couple of months. He is going to make Finn Balor an absolute star that night. And goddamn, that man deserves it. And like you say, this feud's been going on since, when did they do the split? Since June. So we're talking at least... Mm-hmm. We took at least 9 months, even with injuries and stuff. So I think this will be a great match. Now, going back to what I said about the Usos match, do I think this should be Hell in a Cell? But now it's going to be in it, you know exactly what you're going to get. And I am all there for, you know, Edge mutilating his body one last time.
Yeah, I'm not fussed about this being in Hell in a Cell. I think because it's been so long running and you've got the whole... Judgment Day. He can't get Finn by himself without all this nefariousness happening on the outside. I think it's perfectly it's perfectly fine. You'll have Priest on the outside trying to get in. You'll have all sorts of shenanigans even outside the cell. So I think it's perfectly fine as a blow-off for this, because it's been June, so it's been going on for 9 months now. So
I'm not against it being in Hell in a Cell. I just think there's a better match for Hell in a Cell. That's all. But this would be my second choice.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking. I mean, I was very skeptical of the whole Judgment Day thing. After Balor became the leader of it, they chucked Edge out. But they have done. They've done pretty damn well. Since they've turned me on it, and I certainly, if we get another Edge Brood entrance, we'll give me some of that as well.
I think the key has been, and you know, I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I think the key to it has been, Balor isn't the leader; it's Rhea who's the leader of the group. So you know, Balor's always been allowed to like grow organically into it. You know, he could be that same. He could still be that cocky bastard he was for those last few months. You know, in NXT, but now he could be. You know, he's almost in the background, but he's been allowed to grow. You know what? I probably aren't describing it right, but because being the mommy thing has sort of took diverted the attention away. I suppose is what I'm trying to say.
Possibly, but I think this is going to be a fine match, and I think there could be some colour in this one.
Yeah, there will be some colour. there could be, but like I say, because Rhea is going off to SmackDown for a while, so you know this will be Finn's chance to be front and centre. Like I say, almost going from like the supporting actor into the main role, and I think he'll be absolutely brilliant at it. Edge is going to make him a star, and it's going to be the Finn Balor that we've been wanting to see for about like the last 3 or 4 years.
And we might actually get the WWE 2K spot of coup de grace from the top of the cell through a table.
Could you imagine if he's that psychopathic?
Coup de grace, top of the cell, through a table, two broken ankles, but a WrestleMania moment. Now, you were saying there that Finn wasn't the leader and that Rhea was the leader, but is the true leader of the Judgment Day not one Dominic Mysterio, who will finally get the match with his father, Rey Mysterio, the new Hall of Famer at WrestleMania?
Yes, big congratulations to Rey, obviously, for that. This match always feels like a drum solo, doesn't it? It's, you know, it's going to happen. You're just going to have to sit through it just to, you know, get to the good stuff. Rey will be fine. He'll give Dominic a passable match, but it's Dominic Mysterio, mate. I can't get too excited.
No, I can't get too excited. I think Rey didn't want this match. He didn't want to have the match with Dominic, but apparently because it's his son. Probably for the fact that Dominic is rubbish. His father is Eddie Guerrero. His stepfather is Rey Mysterio. His adopted father is Rey Mysterio. How can one man have two such talented fathers and end up so talentless?
I'm amazed. I mean, it might happen because obviously we're recording this, you know, before the final week of program. I'm amazed they have not made this a retirement match for Rey. I am amazed they've not done that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, there was a time, I think I've said this to you before as well, but Rey, when he was at the tail end of his first run with the company, when he had all the steroid bloat, and it was just like, give it up. Just give it up. You're not what you used to be. And then he's come back and he's had that second run, and he's been excellent. He's been like the Rey Mysterio we all know and love.
I'm not saying like I don't want him around. But
oh, I know. I know.
It's like when Flair got his first Hall of Fame induction, and They put him, you know, they were doing that retirement run with him. I'm surprised. I'm just surprised they haven't done it. That's all.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I was just thinking, if you told me that he was going to have a WrestleMania match in 2015 and that was him, but thank God. But now you're weighing up the fact that does he go out on top like this and we all have the memory of this second excellent run, or do we risk him not doing it and then we risk him having a 2014 finish where it's just, please go away.
Yeah. So you don't want to go away with Ray.
No. And I think Scott mentioned that Rey Mysterio is obviously the headliner for the thing this year because it's in California. What better place to go out than the retirement? Unless it's something he's going to announce at the Hall of Fame himself.
Maybe.
Possibly. But yeah, it would be, even if he just announces that he's winding down, would be. I mean, we got to see him and Edge, so I mean, selfishly, I don't need them to stick around for that.
We got to see the bull shot heard around the world.
We did. I mean, this has been months in the making. This has been since Cardiff, from Cardiff to California.
Well, it's like I say, it's another one of these matches on this show, right? You know, like you said, there's 40 matches on the show. 10 of them have had this, you know, at least 10 of them have had this solid belt.
If I look back at the card, sorry to go back. So, Austin Theory, Cena, couple of weeks. Rollins, Logan Paul since January. Usos, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I mean, that you can. Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens come back to the Bloodline.
Yeah, at least a year of the situation.
Yeah. Bianca and Asuka, a couple of weeks. Brock and almost a couple of weeks. Gunther, Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. I mean, that's been going on since Cardiff as well, on and off.
Well, that's been going off before Cardiff.
Yeah, true enough. Becky and Damage Control has been going since SummerSlam, so that's July. Edge and Balor has been going on since about June, July time. And Ray and Dominic's been going on since September.
Mm.
I mean, when was the last time you could even say that about WrestleMania?
Yeah.
But there was one match that we didn't mention there that has also been going on since January. It is the main event of the Sunday. The one that we have all been waiting for. The one that Ben has been patiently waiting for a couple of months to talk about his theory about the challenger. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, challenges the Tribal Chief, the current reigning and defending undisputed WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
So I will start this by, even if you're new to Place to Be, you might have picked up on a few things I've said, but for those of you who've been around here a while and listened to me and know what people call me and what people... Callum, what am I known as around here? What am I known for really loving around here?
You are known as a serial AEW marxer.
So that means it's a term I reject slightly, but I get why people call it me. So I watch Dynamite every week. I watch the pay-per-views when they happen. So the point I'm going to try and make here is Cody Rhodes is literally the same guy I have been watching for years. He had the feud with MJF that wrapped up, I want to say, at Revolution 2020, and in those 3 years since, he has not changed. All that has changed is he has got a fucking stupid tattoo on his neck. That's all that's changed, because he literally has the same looks, the same mannerisms, and the same music, even in the WWE. And this is where, you know, going back to, you know, it's all tying in rather nicely. You're going back to what we were talking about earlier on with Seth. You know, Seth, God love him, pulled a miracle out with Cody. Getting him to do, you know, Cody for me is just beige. Just beige, you know. He's all right. You know, I wanted it to be Sammy, I think, you know. I've made that point very clear. But he'd have been second choice for me. You know, I can see why they've done it. You know, the big return after the injury. But is he a better performer than he was, and has he grown as a performer, than he was when he left 8 years ago? Absolutely he is. But is he a better performer, has he grown as a performer in three or four years? No, he hasn't. And he's going in there against a man who, and I can't believe I'm even saying these words about this man, the man who is, you know, the best wrestler in the company, both in terms of character and in-ring work. And I think he is going to be showed up big time in this match. Roman is going to have a miracle job to do here. I do think Cody wins, because I do think Roman's going to go away and have a little holiday. I do think Cody wins, but we're going to have that problem that he had in AEW, where the fans are going to start booing him any time now. I predict by, because he will have to go heel this time, I predict by SummerSlam, he'll be in SummerSlam. Whether he's champion or not, he'll certainly be a heel by that point. The match itself will be fine. It'll be 3.5, 4 stars. It'll be fine. That's it. Well, how blasé are I saying we're a 4 and a 4 star match? It's just going to be fine. I'm just doing it in a monologue with myself. It's going to be a good match, right? But that's not my problem, my issue. The match itself is the least of my worries. It's, again, going back to another thing we said early on, like, what's next? And Cody just doesn't do anything for me, because I think the way I explained it to you guys is, I've seen this. And I think that's probably why it's working so well in the WWE, because most, you know, it's kind of like that WCW, WWF thing. You know, not everybody who watches AEW watches WWE watches AEW, or vice versa. So, you know, when you guys tell me, oh, Cody's really good, he's doing all these great promos where he's using all these big words and emotions and stuff, it's like, yeah, no, I've seen this. He's cosplaying his dad a little bit. Yeah. And I just haven't seen anything from him yet since the injury, where I'm thinking, is this the guy that's going to be carrying the company? This guy? He'll probably prove me wrong, Callum. You know, you'll probably come out with some great point now and, you know, totally contradict, you know, totally show me up to be a fool. But Roman's fantastic. I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, if you'd have told me like 5 years ago, I'd be saying Roman Reigns is fantastic, I wouldn't have never believed you. So Cody's got the chance to prove me wrong. And that's all it is. It's just literally this guy, I have seen this play. I've already seen this play. I know what happens. For WrestleMania, it will work fine. It'll be fine. You know, the fans will pop. The fans will pop huge when Cody wins. I've got no issues with that. It's just, again, what's next and what's going to be coming for the next few months, I fear.
Do you feel better after that?
I feel better. Whether anybody will agree with me, I don't know, but I feel better after it.
Good. Well, that's all I ask. Just the therapy session is now over. I hear what you're saying. And as listeners of us of the Special Relations will know, I have not been Cody Rhodes' biggest fan in the few years of AEW that he was part of. Highly critical of the man, for reasons that I think at the time were justified. I'm looking at you, Anthony Ogogo feud, and I think, like, everyone was rightly critical of Cody towards the end, and it was a very, very strange existence for Cody in AEW. He has his own company that he helped build from the ground up, and within 6 weeks of the company starting on television, he books himself in the main event of the first pay-per-view after they've started after Dynamite starts, with the stipulation that he will never ever challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship again, and loses.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that was to get over the point that we say stipulations mean things. Fair enough. And to maybe prove a point to his old employer, or the person, or his current employer, as it would be now, the current guy in charge, the guy in charge shouldn't be the top guy and all that sort of thing. But Cody couldn't not be the top guy, and he had this Codyverse that happened everywhere else.
Yep.
And I can see similarities of what's going to happen, because Cody, when he gets a microphone, thinks he's, and God bless the guy, he thinks he's saying the right things.
He thinks he's his dad on the mic, and he isn't.
He thinks he's in Eric Morecambe fashion, he's saying all the right words, but not necessarily in the right order.
does he do a thing with the glass?
It does. He's looking down his glasses. He's pulled the wise man in, going, I'm saying all the right things, just not necessarily in the right order. The only thing that I can foresee that the next 6 months doesn't go the way that you are thinking it's going to, because, as you say, you've seen this film before, is the fact that he's got a filter. I imagine he's come back and he's got a big contract and he's in the main event and now he's got everything he's ever wanted, and well done to the guy. He's a modern day Jeff Jarrett. He falls up the way. But he's got a filter now. He's not the be-all and end-all. He would have been in the creative meetings with Tony Khan, and Tony Khan isn't going to turn around and say to Cody Rhodes, no. I don't think he's got that sort of... Tony Khan's a people pleaser. Mm. He's not going to turn around and go, no, Cody, that's not a good idea. Because Cody's going to turn around and say, well, my dad was Dusty Rhodes. Of course it's a good idea.
He came up with Battle Ball, goddammit.
Hey, exactly. He's come up with Starcade and Battle Ball, the great things in this the bunkhouse stampede. Cody's now answerable to people. He can't go out and start saying that he cured racism and all that sort of thing like he has done before, again with the best of intentions. But everything needs to get signed off by Triple H now. And I imagine he'll still have some level of freedom, as I say, but he's not going to have. So there is, and it might only delay things. What you say is going to happen within the next 6 months might not come home to roost until a year's time. Mm. And by that point, we're thinking, right, lose at WrestleMania and take 6 months off because we can't get that tattoo off television, please. So I think that I want to believe it's not going to get... I think that's what I'm trying to say. I want to believe it's not going to end up like that.
I totally get all that. And that's why I said he will turn heel. It's not like... It's not an if. He will. Because... Even if... You know what I mean? Like you said, because he's got that person who'll be telling you, you will.
Yeah.
Now, do I have to? No, you will.
And it's now going, and he's now got the thing where the more people booed him, the more white meat babyface he became. He's not gonna have that opportunity now, I think is going to be was going to benefit probably going to benefit Cody more than anyone. It'll benefit us as a viewer. It'll benefit you from having to see the watch a repeat of what you've watched for the last couple of years.
I'm not gonna say we talk about this now, by the way, but here's one for through the looking glass for a few years' time, because I just thought about it. What if Cody never got injured at Hell in a Cell? Does he still win the Rumble? Do we still get this?
I don't know, because that was the first thing that we all said. You were on the Hell in a Cell chat, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and when we saw how bad his injury was, the first thing that we all said was, well, there's your Royal Rumble winner.
Mm.
I think the injury has benefited Cody.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, I do. I absolutely, in terms of, you know, like you say, giving him that Rumble victory, I think he will win the main event. After all,
what I think I said, he will, yeah.
I think he will win the main event. But would that have happened with, you know, if he'd have been injury free for 6 months and we'd have had 6 months of him around? Who knows? No. But like I say, the match, I used the word fine and that was the wrong word. The match will be good. Yes. And that will be pretty much, you know, 75% down to Roman Reigns, who, like I say, I still can't believe what I'm saying about him. But that's amazing what happens when you actually, you know, do what you should have done like years ago and actually turn the guy heel. But, you know, that's a conversation for another time. I think Roman goes away. I think, you know, do they want to do? I mean, I don't want to see it. Do they want to do Roman and the Jey Uso? You know, do we need that again? Probably not. But that's probably where they're going to go when he gets back. And so my issue with Roman, and my issue with particularly the match, it's what's going to happen next. So I think in terms of for WrestleMania, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like everything will run to fan. You know, Cody will win the match. The fans will pop huge because it's the end of the title reign. You know, it's Christmas. It's Christmas again. But it's what's coming down the line. That's where I'm a bit about it. Because like I say, And like you say, I've seen this film, I've seen this play, I know what happens.
Yeah, I think everything has handy. I think Cody's going to, I think it's going to be very good match as well. I think it's going to be very emotionally charged, because they will play up that he's the third Rhodes to be, to compete at, right, he's the third Rhodes, but he's the third Rhodes to compete in WWE, the first to win the championship.
He'd be the first Rhodes to be in a main event, won't he? I mean, they've never got to a main event.
Yeah, so he's the first to main event. He'll be the first to win the WWE Championship. He's fulfilling the legacy that his father started. All that sort of thing. So it'll be emotionally charged. All that sort of thing. They are in a point where he gets injured to such a disgusting fashion. When we saw it, it was. I've never seen anything like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I still don't know how he got through that match. No.
I think everyone at that point have just gone, oh, that's really, that's, oh, I can't believe that. Oh, wait a minute. You can have Cody come back. If you go hell for leather, make sure you're back for the Rumble, you're winning the Rumble. You've got, that is, everything fell into place for them. He comes back in time for the Rumble. You've got Roman having this 2-year reign. And they've now got to the point where, if it's, again, as we were saying earlier on, if it's not Cody, who else?
Well,
that has to, like, they are now to the point where they have no one else, and it's strike while the iron's hot. You have this potential megastar has fallen into your lap. Not that I think he's going to be on like an Austin Rock level, but the next megastar take you through the next year or so has landed on your lap. Literally, he left the company that he started, he came back at WrestleMania, and then you've got the injury that takes him through to next WrestleMania. You have to do it.
That's a very good theory, but then one thing happened, or one person happened, and it's a little bit WrestleMania 30, isn't it? You've got your match fixed, and then the fans pick somebody else.
Yeah. And I think what they've done this time, watching SmackDown, they have done a very good job of having Sammy and Cody together. None of them are outshining one another.
Yeah,
they've done a much better job this time.
They're very much equals. And I tell you what I also like, because it would have been the worst of both worlds if they'd done this. They didn't make it a triple threat. Once they picked somebody, they stuck to that lane.
Yes.
Didn't muddy the waters by trying to triple threat it and, you know, doing Sammy wins this match, you know, doing the Daniel Bryan thing. No. If you're going to do it, stick to your person.
And what's to say that Cody doesn't come out on April the 3rd, on Monday Night Raw, and the first challenger, he makes Sami Zayn his first challenger, or Sami and Kevin the first challenger?
Yeah, because I think they want to split the titles up at some stage, so that's going to happen. So,
yeah, so you're thinking Backlash, couple of weeks' time, there you go, triple threat. I'm more than happy to thingy. You had the opportunity. It just so happened that I won the Royal Rumble, and it wasn't to be. But here's your chance.
Yes, but like I say, you know, just going to wrap. I'll put a bow on it. It's going to be a good match. It might even be a very good match, but. For WrestleMania, it will work perfectly.
Yes. Do
I think it's the right guy? No, I don't. But again, he's a second choice. He'd be a second choice to me. So we're not like, you know, it's not like we're having to pluck somebody from the mid card to bring into this match. It just, for me, we spoke a lot about Cody. We need to speak about Roman a little. If you're going to have this 2-3 year, you know, nearly 3 year reign, then. Shouldn't it be somebody, you know, I'm not saying better, but somebody more integral to that storyline angle that should be the person who finally beats him? Not some guy, not the guy who just won the Rumble 2 months ago, who's had about 3 weeks of interaction with him.
Yeah. Very good point.
But
yeah,
but everybody will love it. Everybody, they will love it. You know,
they will.
Just, I'm just speaking as somebody who's seen it. That's all. That's all.
Yeah. I think the good thing about this again is, and we've had this problem with Roman Reigns' title match to WrestleMania before, it's going to come at the end of a shorter show.
Mm.
It's not going to come at the end. I can see people just dumping on it if Roman and Cody was going to be at the end of like an 8-hour WrestleMania.
If this has been like an 8-hour show, good God.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be like an old school classic feel good end of WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, because for all my criticisms of Cody in front of the camera, he's a great booker behind the camera.
Yes.
So he'll probably, you know, even though they'll have, you know, producer slash agents, I would imagine, you know, with Heyman, it'll be them three who'll be booking this match between them.
Oh, yeah.
Or putting the match together between them, I should say.
I just hope Dustin's going to be there.
I think he might be a bit busy with you know, Mr. Lee, but he might be there off camera. I think he'll be there backstage.
Oh yeah, I think he'll be there somewhere. I don't think he's Ricky. I wonder if Ricky Starks is going to turn up controversially. but
love Ricky. Yeah.
But I think, I mean, we've gone on for a slightly longer than we said, ever so slightly longer than we said. But I think
how long did we manage?
We're on 1:25 now.
That's all right. That's all
I
right.
I think we were aiming for the hour, but I think that shows that goes the testament of the card they've actually built up.
Yeah.
I mean, in recent years we could have gone through thingy. We could have put notes in the back of a cigarette packet for how excited we were for WrestleMania.
I'm pretty sure we did. Didn't we do? So here we go. This is a good example. Didn't we do a WrestleMania preview on Special Relations last year that lasted about half an hour?
I think so.
And the fact that none of us can really remember it, that tells you everything there you need to know.
Yeah. I think yes. I mean, that's that in a nutshell. We've gone for over an hour, almost an hour and a half now, because that is an hour and a half, that genuinely is an hour and a half's worth of things to talk about.
Mm.
Overall, very much looking forward to it. We will have two nights of Twitch on for WrestleMania this year. So as you're listening to this, not sure when this is going to drop, but as you're listening to this, you may have a show tonight if it's going to be the Saturday. If it's before that, Saturday and Sunday, there will be two nights of alternate commentary on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook, depending on just. Join the chat wherever you fancy, whatever your preferred methods are. But we'll go over all that at the end. So, Ben, just last overall thoughts about the show and let the good people know where they can find you.
So, like I say about the show itself, I said it right at the beginning, it's probably the most exciting I've been for WrestleMania. This is 39, so it's probably 8 years. 8 years, I'd say, most excited I've been. And like we've explained, it's a card top to bottom. I think they've picked the matches well. You know, you do have a piss break. You know, you've got we said about Cardiff, didn't you? You've got the piss break match, but there's five other matches as it was in Cardiff, which you don't want to really leave. And they've pretty much done the same thing here, but with a couple of more matches. So yeah, I'm fully invested. I'm really looking forward to this year's show. I think there's going to be. I don't think we're going to be quite at WrestleMania 17 territory, but really good show, really looking forward to it. As for where you can find me, go on, Cal.
No, I was going to say, not quite WrestleMania 17 territory, but definitely WrestleMania 19 territory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you'd be dashing us to think WrestleMania 19's like the best show ever. I mean, that's just a ridiculous job. as for where you can find me, I'm on the Twitter machine. You can find me there at BenL1981. Here on Place to Be, you can hear me, Logan and Callum, every month on Chicken Salad. The last episode that dropped is either going to be... Well, it's either going to be the No Way Out 2005 episodes out there, and I'm saying Callum every month, but he wasn't on the last one. It was me, Jacob, and Logan, and we did Uncensored 96. So yeah, you catch your Chicken Salad every month. Also, as part of the six pack on Highway to the Impact Zone and Starflation as well, which I'm sure Callum will mention and talk about right now.
Yes, Starflation, the podcast where five stars is never enough. we go over the matches that were rated 5 stars by Meltzer before he broke his own scale, and we go and reassess them for Starfelation to put them onto the new 7-star scale. We made history in the last episode, which was the Sheepherders against the Fantastics from the Crockett Cup 1986. So go and listen to that one to see how we made history on that very controversial episode. I'll just leave it at that. And yeah, other than the last episode, I am on Chicken Salad every month with Ben steering the ship on that one, and the mud pie himself, Logan. So, as I said, 2 weeks of Twitch. 2 weeks of Twitch? 2 nights of Twitch coming up. Twitch.tv/PlayStoBeNation. YouTube.
It should be 2 weeks of Twitch.
Should be 2 weeks of Twitch. We could, well, if this show is excellent, we'll just keep watching it for 2 weeks straight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's twitch.tv/PlayStoBeNation, youtube.com/@PTBWrestling. We have also got facebook.com/PTBNLive, and you can find us all there for both nights. There'll be all sorts of, you might not hear us all both nights, but you'll hear us all at least one night on. So, and then for the hardier members of the crew, like Ben, he might be there both nights.
But hey, I've got the weekend off specially for it.
Ben's the workhorse of the nation. he's going to be on that. But yes, until then, we hope you enjoy the show. Thank you all for listening. Hope to see you in the chat on one of the places that we're doing our alternate commentary. So yes, until then, enjoy the show. And for the special relations, we'll see you somewhere down the road.
You think you're special. You do. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me. Look down on me and walk around on me. Just one more fight about your leadership. Then I will straight up leave your shit. Cause I've and you'll be the one who's left. missing me. Yeah! This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway. This time I'ma let it all come out. This time I'ma stand up and shout. I'ma do things my way. It's my way. My way or the highway.
Check out my melody.